ready.
NBC didn't have to create rape allegations to keep from selling to Bill Cosby. That's like me saying I don't want to sell you my car, but then going around telling people you rob banks.
For real talk.
Hey man, I'm just gonna say it. If you don't think you sexist, ask yourself why you champion LeVar Ball but think Cardi B should go away.
All the time.
Not everybody's gonna like it, but don't ever, ever apologize for trying to be a better person.
Welcome to the Spann Report with your host, Mr. Spann.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Spann Report Podcast. I am your host, Mr. Spann. This is episode number 227 of the report, and right now we rocking out with some Tank. Missing you, man. So, rock out with your boy. Indeed, man, we are chilling out here. It is a Thursday night. We normally don't record on no Thursday nights, man. That ain't how we do this, man. But it's how we did it this week, man. It's been a motherfucking rough ass week for your man, Spann, man. As a matter of fact, shit, my basement was flooded right before I got on here. I had to like shop back my whole damn basement and shit to get the water up out of here, man. There's some bullshit going on in the game, man, for real. Whole lot of bullshit going on in the game, but we are here, man. We are making this happen. And this is episode number 227 of the report, man. And like I said, it's a Thursday night, and let's turn Tank off, man. Let's turn him off. But yeah, man, it is it's been a tough week, man. It's been a long week, been a busy week, been a whole lot of things going on with your man's band. But of course, we are here and we are about to get into some of the things that have happened throughout the week, man. Give our opinion on this shit and listen to what you guys had to say about some of the things, or better yet, read about what some of you guys had to say about some of the things we talked about here on the show last week. But before we do all of that, of course, I gotta let you guys know how to get in touch with us here at the Spann Report Podcast and let your voice be heard. Go ahead and hit up that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. It's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. Of course, we will play them on the show, respond in kind. You can also email us here at feedback@thespannreport.com. That's feedback@thespannreport.com. Send those emails. Of course, we'll read those emails here live on the show and respond to you. I got an email that I got to respond to tonight, so we're going to do that. Also, hit us up on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Spann, so chop it up with your family throughout the week, man. What's up, Jack? How you doing, homie? Also, man, iTunes and or Stitcher reviews, man. 5 stars, preferably. The 5-star reviews are the ones that get read here on the show. You could say some fucked up shit about us here. Real talk. You can say whatever the fuck you want to say, so long as you leave them 5 stars, man. You leave them 5 stars, the shit'll get read here on the show, man. Real talk. Even exchange. If you're going to do that, we got to get something out of it, too. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, hit us up with those reviews on iTunes and on Stitcher Radio. It really does help the show grow, man, and it doesn't cost you a dime, man. Real talk. And hit up the website. Go to the website, man. Check out all of the episodes of the Span Report podcast and all of the episodes of the Baywatch podcast and all of the episodes of the Beer and Chicken podcast. Check those out. Watch replays of the shows that we do live. Also, leave... you can go there, vote in the polls, leave comments there. You can donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like. Of course, we appreciate every dime that you send us over here at the Span Report Podcast Network, man. Real talk. And, of course, there's the store where you can get yourself some shit like this, man. This fly gear, man. You go ahead and get you some stuff, man. Real talk. Get you a coffee mug or something, or like a thermos. Do people still carry thermoses and shit? Get a thermos. Yeah, but, it has been a pretty long week, man. I've been doing a bunch of overtime at the job. I had some overtime kind of come down on your man Span last Tuesday that I wasn't really planning on doing. But, you know, sometimes your plans don't mean shit when the job has something for you to do. So, you know, of course, they was paying a nigga, so I'm going to be there. But, you know, I was kind of salty about it because I really wasn't trying to be there for the overtime Tuesday. But, you know, get that money, right? Get that money. And let's see what else, man. Also, I wanted to make sure I remind you guys, I was on an episode of the Cooking the Gooch podcast with the homies Cook and Stephanie of the Mocha Minutes podcast, man. And we were talking about a lot of different things, man, especially about Black America and Black men's role in Black America. I believe she's calling us. As a matter of fact, let me pull this up because I got it in my phone, Span. Go ahead and pull it up. Do it justice. Do it justice. Let me pull this up. And, I'm going to need this to be a little bit more. Okay, so the episode on the Cooking the Gooch podcast is actually called Building a Wall Around America. And I was on episode 3, right? Part 3 of that. So go ahead and check that out, man. Shout out to Cook and the Gooch podcast, man. Shout out to their Facebook group, man. Their Facebook group is lit as a motherfucker, man. Real talk. Like, if do yourself a favor and join their Facebook group, man, because it's always live up in there. But shout out to both Cook and Stephanie, man. Stephanie's out here doing this podcasting thing, the solo podcasting thing, some of the hardest shit in the world to do, man. And Stephanie's out here kicking ass doing it, man. So shout out to those sisters, man. And real talk, go ahead and give them a listen. And tell everybody, man, that the Span Report podcast sent you their way, man. Real talk. But shout out to Cook for having me on. I really do appreciate your sister for having a brother on, man. Real talk. Also, man, the Baywatch podcast. And I know a couple, we haven't put out an episode of the Baywatch podcast the last couple weeks. Again, we have been kind of busy here, you know, with my work schedule and with my wife's work schedule. It's been kind of hard for us to kind of get out, go to the movies, and go see something that we really wanted to go see. That's one of the things about it. Like, we don't want to just go to the movies and go watch some shit that we really have no interest in. The Baywatch podcast is kind of like some stuff that we've been thinking about going to see anyway. And then we talk to y'all about what we went to go see, right? So, you know, it's been real tough to try to get, you know, to the movies and whatnot because of my schedule and because of her schedule. And, yo, real talk, niggas be tired, yo. So we do plan on having an episode of the Baywatch podcast. Episode 4 or 5, I believe it is, will be up this weekend. We will be going to the movies this weekend. So you guys will get another Baywatch podcast and Mr. Span will be on the mic. And we just did another Beer and Chicken. So, you know, go ahead and check out that Beer and Chicken episode with me, the homie Walt Lockdown, and the homie Cliff, a.k.a. DJ Neff, man. Go ahead and check out that Beer and Chicken podcast, man. We're talking about Tyronn Lue getting the boot in Cleveland, man. So go ahead and talk, you know, check those podcasts out when we're not doing the Span Report podcast on time, right? So, yeah, we got that going on, man. But, you know, since, you know, we are kind of like on the tail end of the Halloween season and everything, man, I kind of want to say, man, I'm a little bummed out, man. I'm a little bummed out only because, like, so, you know, for a long time, man, your man Span was doing the apartment living thing, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't like it was a whole lot of kids coming by the apartments to come get candy. Wasn't no trick-or-treating coming down the hallway, you know what I mean? It just wasn't happening like that. But, you know, when we got the house, man, it was like, you know what? Now's my opportunity to be the nice old dude in the neighborhood and give candy out to the kiddies. And, you know, so, like, last year I came home kind of late. It was an unexpected overtime like it was, you know, this past Tuesday. Came home kind of late. I know I missed a lot of kids last year because I came home late, right? This year, Came home about 4 or 5 o'clock. And like, at first I was trying to get my wife to like pass the candy out. Truth be told, man, my wife wasn't feeling that shit at all, man. Miss Spam, like, man, fuck them kids. I ain't doing that shit. she was like, man, nah, I'm good. I ain't trying to be getting up at that door, you know, every time somebody ring the doorbell or anything like that. So I'm like, all right, then. So I'm gonna do it, right? But yo, man, only two kids came through. Two little brothers, man. One of them was Black Panther, and another one was a ninja. And I think they like, I made their day, man, because I was like, hey, man, look, put your bag up, little homie. I got something for you. And I gave him like a handful, man. I went in my bowl, man. I grabbed a fistful of like Kit Kats and Reese cups, and I gave him that. And then he was ready to walk away. I'm like, hold on, homie, where you going? And then I gave him another fistful. He was like, whoa, right? So then his big brother standing there like, I know this nigga better get me like some over, like the same amount, right? So I just gave him two big ass fistfuls, man. They mama and shit like honked the horn like, thank you, you know? And it was cool, man. But them was the only two kids getting the candy from the Span household this week, man. Oh, this year, man. I was kind of bummed about it. You know what I'm saying? I used to get excited about the whole idea of trick-or-treating and everything. I didn't see a whole lot of kids doing a lot of tricking or treating, man. I mean, you know, the trick-or-treating. You know, I didn't see a whole lot. Span do love the kids, man. I love the kids. I got a soft spot in my heart for the kids, man. I like to see kids smile, man. I like to see them having a good time. And I also remember when I was a shorty, man, how excited I used to get for the candy, man. Like, and going to somebody's house and they're being really nice to you and giving you something that you really like, man. I wanted to do that. I wanted to be on the opposite end of that. You know what I'm saying? I'm grown. I'm the grown up now. I don't want to be, you know, get off my lawn, Span. I kind of want to be like, that's nice old Mr. Span over there, right? So, yeah, man, only two kids came and got some candy, man. I mean, they got a lot of fucking candy because I damn near gave them the whole bowl. But, yeah, man, I know, like, you know, shit is kind of fucked up, man. A lot of kids ain't out, you know, doing the trick-or-treat. They doing the trunk-or-treat or they doing, you know, they going to, like, parties and stuff like that. And I low-key kind of wonder how many of their parents and turn this into a holiday for themselves and shit. You know what I'm saying? You know, I seen a lot of y'all, man. Y'all was getting down with the costumes. I can't even front, man. Some of y'all was out here looking mad good in the costumes, man. Y'all was doing the damn thing. But, yo, man, this shit ain't for you. It's for the babies, man. Let the babies have something, man. Let the babies have something. But, yeah, man, I was a little bummed about the trick-or-treating, man. I only gave two kids candy. That was kind of some bullshit. I ain't gonna... also, man, you know what? That's it. That's all my random thoughts, really, man. Y'all heard about everything I done went through throughout the week. Let me get into some of this listener feedback because I did get an email this week about what we talked about last week as far as credit and stuff. So let me pull this up here. All right. So this email here comes from Reggie. What's up, Reggie? He says, so Span, I'm listening to your last episode about the credit stuff, and you said something about there being a statute of limitations on collections and not being responsible for them anymore. Are you sure about that, bruh? Because I once had my check garnished for a bill that was almost 10 years old. You might want to check into that some more, fam. But overall, I appreciate your attempt to pass on some very useful information. Excuse me. That advice about only using a credit card for things you have cash to pay for seems to be a common sense approach. But I know a lot of people who look at those cards as a way to live above their means. Anyway, take it easy, Span, Reggie. All right, so here's the thing. I thought I made myself clear on that episode, but let me reiterate this. So what I found out was this, right, is that a collector or like a debtor has a set limit of time where they can sue you for the monies you owe them, right? So if you got like an old utility bill that you never paid and then you messed around and got your lights turned on in like your mama's name or something like that, or one of your kids' names or whatnot, the electric company has about, they have a certain amount of time depending on which state you live in to collect on that money. Now, a lot of times, you know, a lot of these utility companies, they'll pass your debt on to a collection agency, and the collection agency then goes about the business of trying to collect on that money, right? But they have a certain amount of time with which to sue you for those funds. And in the state of Michigan, the statute of limitations is 6 years. If they don't sue you within 6 years of the original time of that debt, then they no longer have a legal recourse to get that money, that those monies from you, as I understand it. Now, let me first also say that your man Span ain't no damn expert. This is just something that I kind of picked up along the way as I've been trying, you know, as I've been going through the credit repair journey my damn self. You know what I'm saying? So this is one of the things that I kind of picked up. Also, another thing that to consider is like when a credit when a collection agency contacts you about a debt, one of the first things you do is to tell them that whatever information that you have for me, send that shit in the mail. Don't call me. Don't verify anything. Right? Now, you may owe this money and you may want to you may want to do the honorable thing and go ahead and pay it. Right? But if you don't pay it after you've acknowledged that this is your debt, you just reset that clock. Right? So if they've called you within any period after that, say they called you and it was like maybe 4 years after that, you know, that original debt had been like deemed past due. Right? It's been 4 years and a collection agency contacted you and you acknowledged that it was yours. You now just reset that clock on the statute of limitations. So that may be why. I'm not sure what your situation is entirely, but that may be why they were actually able to kind of go ahead after the fact and garnish your wages, because even though you may have been out of the statute of limitation. Now, again, I don't even know where you live at, Reggie, so it may be something different depending on which state you live in. But as I understand it, here in Michigan, they have 6 years from the time that debt is considered past due to sue you for those funds. And if they don't, then they no longer have any legal recourses really to kind of come after you for those for that money, right? So I'm not telling you not to pay your bills. I'm just telling you kind of what some of the collection rigmarole is. You know, some of the gangsmanship of collections and credit and everything else, as I've learned it over the course of the years that I've been paying way more attention to my credit. So I hope I was clear now. And I do appreciate you, Reggie, for writing in, brother. Real talk. Thank you so much for writing in, fam, man. But that has been our listener feedback. We got that on up out the way. Oh, snap. That is not it. We had a poll last week. And the poll last week was about credit. And what was your worst credit mistake? What was the worst credit mistake that you ever made? And the poll results are in. And leading the way with 45% of the vote is co-signing on the car. 45% of y'all said y'all worst credit mistake was co-signing on the car for somebody else, and they ass didn't pay the bill, apparently, because y'all wouldn't be voting that in the number one option, right? What comes in at number two is irresponsible spending with a credit card. Now, I know we talked about this last week, me and Jay Muddy. We talked about this last week. I really tried not to use my credit cards for anything other than what I can pay for cash. Like, real talk, I really try not to do that. And this is something that I had to learn. You know what I'm saying? I went through my mistakes when I went to college and I was getting these credit cards and had no idea how to use them and everything else. But I try now to only use my credit cards for the things I have the cash on hand for. It's money that I would already be spending. So, like, if it's a cell phone bill, I'm going to pay that with a credit card, and then I can pay my credit card back the monies, and I'm never paying any interest on that, on those funds. And I'm actually receiving rewards for using my credit card as opposed to just using my debit card, which I don't get any benefits from whatsoever. So, that's been number two. Number two was, and that was 27% of you guys who said the irresponsible spending with a credit card was one of your biggest credit mistakes. The third option was, getting a credit card before I understood credit. I know a lot of us made this mistake in college. I know I did. And 18% of you guys said that you made that mistake also, that you got a credit card before you really understood how to use them. And the last one was you paid too much interest on a loan. Now, if you got bad credit, you're going to pay too much interest on a loan, flat out. The better your credit score, the lower your interest rate goes. That's just how it is. So that was the poll results from last week's show, and that has been our listener feedback. But it is time for us to get right on into the show. And of course, we're getting right into the news. All right. And the first story we got here in the news, man, is, yo, so, of course, y'all know this is the very last show that we're going to do right before these midterm elections. Do you go out and vote this coming Tuesday? I implore every last one of you guys who are listening to the sound of my voice right now to go and vote. I really do. Because it's a lot of fuck shit going on, man. Real talk. And one of the things I want to talk about, one of the things that kind of popped up in the news, man, is the fact that Donald Trump is deciding that he's going to send 15,000 U.S. troops to the southern border to fend off, what would we call them, refugees who are coming to the United States seeking asylum. All right, we're going to read the story here. This comes out of the NPR, and they say that President Trump said Wednesday that he could send up to 15,000 troops to the U.S.-Mexico border, which would surpass the number of soldiers currently stationed in Afghanistan. You know, where there's still a fucking war going on. Still a war going on. He's going to have more troops on the border than there. It says, speaking to reporters as he left the White House for a campaign rally Wednesday night in Florida, Trump said that the number of military personnel on the border will go up to anywhere between 10,000 and 15,000 military personnel on top of the Border Patrol, ICE, and everybody else at the border. The current number of troops deployed to the border is 5,239, the head of Northern Command General Terrence O'Shaughnessy said on Tuesday. He said that the number would likely grow even larger. A contingent of 2,092 National Guard members are already stationed at the border. The total alone is roughly equal to the number of troops remaining in Iraq and Syria. Now, the reason why we're talking about this in the news and why we're talking about this in the context of, you know, the current midterm elections that are coming up is because this is one of the basically a whole propaganda stunt, right? This is a propaganda stunt. Like, if you've been paying any attention to what they would call the migrant caravan, as Donald Trump would like to call it, and as Fox News would like to portray it, as this imminent mass horde of people who are going to invade the United States of America, and we need to have United States armed forces at the border to prevent these folks from coming over here and crossing the border illegally. This is another dog whistle with which to embolden and inflame the base of the racist. It's to inflame the base of the racists who vote for Donald Trump and his ilk, right? That's only this. That's all this is. Why aren't we having a massing of soldiers coming from Canada or blocking the northern border? I live on a border state. I live on a border crossing, man. We got the Ambassador Bridge, man. We got the Detroit Windsor Tunnel, man, that you can go through. Like, there's a couple different ways to get over here, man, from Detroit alone. We don't have a mass of fucking military personnel heading our way. Why is that? There's a certain contingent of people that they do not want here in America, you know? And so the idea that we need these people at the border for refugees who aren't even close, by the way, right? Who aren't even close. Like, I've been to Mexico. I think the furthest I've been in Mexico was Guadalajara. And I went to Guadalajara on it was a study trip while I was in high school, man. Really nice town. Like, I really did enjoy my time in Guadalajara. They have some amazing tacos, amazing people, learned a lot while I was down and went to all of the museums, went to a lot, like, you know, learned a lot about the city, learned a lot about the culture down there, right? That's a long ways away from the United States border. We had to take two flights to get there. We had to fly from Chicago to Houston, from Houston to Guadalajara. It's a long fucking way on a plane. Now imagine walking that shit. Walking. These people are walking from, hold on a second. I thought it was somebody in my house for a second. I'm like, hold on. But anyway, no, these people are walking. They are walking from from Central America to the United States border, seeking asylum from the famine from their country, seeking asylum from the political uprising going on in their country, seeking asylum from the persecution going on in their country. And the United States president right now is talking about sending United States troops to the border to keep them from coming over. Now, not only is he talking about sending troops down there, but he's also talking about having the United States Armed Forces engage them in a way where if those people throw rocks at them, then the United States Armed Forces can then start opening fire upon these people. So let me go ahead and pull this video up so you guys can watch this here along with your boy. Where is it? Screen share. Let's do that. All right. So check this out.
This, anybody throwing stones, rocks, like they did to Mexico and the Mexican military, Mexican police, where they badly hurt police and soldiers of Mexico, we will consider that a firearm. Because there's not much difference when you get hit in the face with a rock, which, as you know, it was very violent a few days ago, very, very violent. That break-in, it was a break-in of a country. They broke into Mexico.
He just makes shit up, bruh. He just makes shit up. A rock is the same as a firearm? Are you fucking kidding me, dude? Are you kidding me? He just makes the shit up. And so this is one of the things where Donald Trump continues to, he continues to, like, just try to gin up his base, man. These people are others. They're invading the country, man. They're you had folks on Fox News talking about they bringing leprosy, man, like biblical illnesses. They're going to bring it to us in biblical proportions. Like, that's, it's important. It's important not to fall for that okie doke. Get your ass up and vote to put a check on this shit, right? Now, another thing that is going on in the news, man, and this story is actually, it's also election related. This story is actually coming out of Georgia, and we know that, like, Georgia has a very hotly contested gubernatorial race going on right now. Stacey Abrams and what's this dude's name? Brian Kemp are running for governor of the state of Georgia. But of course, we also know that there has been an effort of voter suppression in Georgia by Brian Kemp, who's currently the Secretary of State in the state of Georgia. Right now, they're purging voters from the polls. They're holding voter registrations up through a process that they call exact match, where if your name doesn't match exactly with the records that the state of Georgia has on record, then you can't vote. It's a lot of shit going on. So Brian Kemp was actually caught on audio speaking about his concerns over whether people will actually go out and exercise their right to vote. So check this out. We're listening to this. This is coming out of RollingStone.com. Let me rewind this. So,
literally tens of millions of dollars that they are.
Let's see. Here we go.
And as worried as we were going into the start of early voting with the literally tens of millions of dollars that they are putting behind to get out the vote efforts for their base. A lot of that with absentee ballot requests, they have just an unprecedented number of that, which is something that continues to concern us, especially if everybody uses and exercises their right to vote, which they absolutely can,
It concerns us that they'll use their constitutional right to vote as they absolutely can. Why would American citizens using their right to vote as they absolutely can be a concern for you? And be a concern because you, of course, you know that these people aren't voting for you. Stacey Abrams has a tremendous ground game going on in Georgia. And she's registering voters left and right to go out there. She's energizing these voters to go out there and vote. So one of the ways in which you can stifle that is to, okay, we gotta put in a process in place to where these people can go out and vote. We got the exact match thing. We gotta hold up the registrations. We gotta ask for voter IDs. We gotta do all these things. We gotta put all these hurdles in place to keep these people from voting. If it wasn't important that you go out and vote, they wouldn't have a concern of you using that right, and they wouldn't be trying so hard to take that right away from you. We've said it over and over again here at the Span Report. Excuse me. Over and over again. Yo, man, the Secretary of State also refuses in Georgia to step down from his position. Now, mind you, can you imagine, like, yo, can you imagine just, I don't know, me and you win the lottery, right? Or there's a large sum of money that me and you are both trying to get to, right? But I got an in on the money. You know what I'm saying? Where, like, I can keep you from, I can limit your access to it. I can limit your access to how to get to the money. Meanwhile, I got free reign to it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a conflict of interest right on its face. But these people don't care. They don't fucking care, man. Please, I implore you. I know this is like, I implore y'all, man, to get y'all asses out there and go vote, man. Brian Kemp is trying to keep black people, disproportionately amounts of black people, from voting in the state of Georgia. Imagine if these sorts of actions were not in place, how well these black and Democratic candidates could be doing if it wasn't for the shenanigans that these Republicans were putting into the game every fucking election season, man. Real talk. Now, another story that's going on in the news, and this is actually kind of funny to me, real talk. So Don Lemon, you know, Don Lemon has kind of had like maybe a come to Jesus moment. I can remember a time when Don Lemon was talking about Bill O'Reilly having a point, you know, really buying into the respectability politics of pull your pants up, you know, how you talk, how you dress. A lot of the same things that Bill Cosby used to talk to us about, right? You know, Bill Cosby, Bill O'Reilly, you know, it's interesting that they have the same thing in common, you know, sexual assault and everything. But yeah, man, so that's going on, right? Now, Don Lemon actually said something that has right-wing media all up in a tizzy. Now, let's see if is there a video attached to this? Let's see. There is. So let me see if I can pull this up so you guys can watch here in the chat room. There it is. All right. So let's see exactly what Don Lemon, or what they got to say about what Don Lemon said. Because this is on Fox News that we watching this, y'all. CNN host Don Lemon is under fire after a disturbing on-air rant in which he declared white men are the biggest terror threat to the United States. Okay, so check this out. This is one of those videos where they just put fucking words up. I don't need to do that. So we can just read the article. It says, CNN host Don Lemon is under fire after a disturbing on-air rant in which he declared that white men are the biggest terror threat to the United States. Noted that there is no white guy banned and wondered aloud what we do about that. Cuomo primetime host Chris Cuomo and Lemon were discussing the recent shooting of two black men in Kentucky that is being investigated as a hate crime when his Monday guest and colleague took the conversation off the rails. I keep trying to point out to people that not to demonize any one group or any one ethnicity, but we keep thinking that the biggest threat, terror threat, is something else. Some people who are marching towards the border like it's imminent, and the last time they did this, a couple of hundred people came, and, you know, most of them didn't get into the country. Most of them got tuckered out before they even made it to the border, Lemon told his CNN colleague. So we have to stop demonizing people and realize that the biggest terror threat in this country is white men. Most of them radicalized to the right, and we have to start doing something about them. Lemon then pondered solutions as Cuomo, a privileged white male whose father was a Democratic governor on New York, looked on. That's amazing how Fox tried to spin that one. There is no travel ban on them, Lemon said. There is no ban on them. You know they had the Muslim ban. There's no white guy ban. So what do we do about that? Cuomo responded by telling Lemon that he was making the right point. Okay. Now, before I get into making my point, it says, although critics quickly denounced the bizarre diatribe, CNN did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Fox News contributor DeRoy Murdoch said that the racism coming from the left and mainstream media has become breathtaking, pointed to Lemon's comment as the latest example. Lemon's latest spurt of acid is the most unusual plea for national unity. We have to stop demonizing people. And then just two words later, a blast of divisiveness worthy of a machete, Murdoch said. Painting with a roller rather than a mere broad brush, Lemon slams millions of his fellow Americans. He does not say that they are wrong, mistaken, or misinformed, rather that they are a terror threat. Now, interestingly enough, they get mad at Don Lemon for saying this shit about white males. However, this isn't the first time we've heard this. As a matter of fact, the FBI actually said that white nationalists were as much of a threat to the United States as ISIS. We're going to read the story here. This comes out of Newsweek. And it says, white nationalism is as much of a threat to the U.S. as ISIS, FBI's open investigation show. Right? So the FBI also agrees with Don Lemon. It's not as if he just pulled this out of his ass. It says the threat of white nationalist violence in the U.S. is at least a bigger threat to the is at least a bigger threat that is posed by the Islamic State and similar groups, the FBI revealed Wednesday. Director Chris Wray, who was appointed by Donald Trump, told the Senate Homeland Security and Government Affairs Committee that there are currently 1,000 open investigations into domestic terror groups and another 1,000 probes into groups with radical Islamic ideology. But the similar numbers did not satisfy some members of the panel, with several complaining of a double standard in how attacks from white supremacists were investigated compared to those carried out by people who identified as having a radical Islamic ideology. So the number of attacks carried out by white supremacists were almost triple those of those carried out by people who identified with groups such as ISIS, said Democratic Senator Claire McCaskill of Missouri. And government data obtained by The Hill suggests that the number of white supremacist attacks compared to those from radical Islamic groups was as many as 2-1. We have had zero hearings on the threat of domestic terrorists and the threat they pose in our response to it, McCaskill said, explaining that there have been a number of hearings about ISIS, but none about white supremacists. But said white nationalism is no more or less a priority for the FBI than threats from terrorist organizations. We take both of them very, very seriously, The Hill reported Raya saying. Our focus is on violence and threats of violence against the people of this country. That's our concern. It's not ideology. Now, if the FBI, whose director was appointed by Donald Trump, is saying that there is a contingent of white nationalism and white nationalist terrorist activity within the United States on par or exceeding that of Islamic terrorism, what the fuck is Fox News even mad about? What are they even mad about? That he told the truth? Like, there was, like, I'm not the biggest, like, Don Lemon fan, but I mean, come on, man. Like, there were no lies told. There were no lies told. I don't know exactly what it is, but there is a, Obama said he's not giving up the president. There's a contingent of, I guess they really think people are stupid. Like, and truth be told, America has kind of shown that, yo, it's a lot of stupid people here. Like, we will follow and lead behind anything, man. Like, even to the point where we don't even want to believe the things that are right in front of us. Like, This isn't even the first time I've heard this. Back in 2016, we heard this about white nationalist groups infiltrating the law enforcement. We heard this a while ago. So the idea that, okay, after Sandy Hook, after the Pulse nightclub, after the Charleston shooting Dylan Roof, after Stoneman Parkman, the school in Florida got shot up, after Columbine, after fucking Aurora, after Las Vegas, after this dude who sent the pipe bombs, after the synagogue gets shot up. Like, all of these dudes were white. And most of their motivations were political. Let's just call this shit what it was, man. They were executing terrorist operations. They were trying to instill terror in their targets. And in the larger scheme, those who look like their targets. Let's call it what it is. So Fox News is mad at Don Lemon. Fox News mad at Don Lemon. You're telling the motherfucking truth, man. That's crazy. But that's been the news, y'all. We'll be right back. All right, all right, all right. Now, we are going into our other segment.
What in blue blazes is going on out here?
Did this nigga just say blue blazes?
It is time for Blue Blazes, and our first story in Blue Blazes comes to us from Dr. Phil, y'all. So, Dr. Phil had this young lady on by the name of Treasure. And Treasure made her way through the social media streets because, yo, she said some outlandish shit. So outlandish that folks were like, you know, kind of going in on this kid, and rightfully so. But I can I'm not going to just keep talking about it. Hear for yourself.
I know a lot of people take issue with my beliefs. I'm white. I'm a Caucasian.
She's clearly a black girl.
Because everything about me is different from an African American. I have naturally straight hair.
That's clearly a perm. Or at the very least, a straight comb.
My hair isn't nappy. It doesn't require weave.
My nose is not giant. It's like African Americans. My lips are perfect. They're not too big and they're not too small. Like, they're just perfect. My ears, I don't have black people ears because they're really giant.
Has she seen motherfucking Albert Einstein's ears? Like, okay.
African Americans speak ghetto. But when it comes to black people, I think they're all ugly and I have nothing in common with them. I'm different from African Americans because I'm white. My figure is just like Kim Kardashian and she's a wonderful role model.
That's when y'all should have known this was some bullshit. Like, real talk. That's when y'all should have known this was some bullshit, man. When that little girl said, Kim Kardashian, she has the body of Kim Kardashian just like hers and she is an excellent role model. That's when y'all should have known, all right. All right, you got me. You got me.
Act and I think like a white person instead of a black person.
I believe that I'm completely and utterly better than them. Like, we're on two different levels. Like, okay, African Americans are here. I'm here.
White people act and think just way more mature than African Americans. Black people, they think.
So, basically, even if she was to be like a white person, she thinks that she's a racist white person. She's saying the most insane things, and she got the attention that she rightfully like was looking for, man. She was looking for the attention, and I'll be goddamn if she didn't get it. We talking about her here on the Span Report right now, right?
Think in a criminal way. When I think about African Americans, I feel like asking them, what is wrong with them? They're really dangerous. If African American is on the same street as I am, I'll cross the street to avoid their chaotic, thuggish ways.
Are you okay?
I'm irritated.
I'm sorry.
I just know that I'm white. I mean, she might not know that I'm white, but I know that I'm white. I can feel it through my veins. I feel it through my blood.
I tell my mom, I'll never be like any of those Negroes. My mom tries to...
So you're white with a black mama, but you weren't adopted.
Criticize me about my supposed race. I tell her she's just ignorant. There's nothing wrong with my views or beliefs because I have freedom of speech and everything I'm saying is true.
Okay, Treasure, how are you this morning?
I'm pretty great. How are you?
Okay, we're not about to really sit here and listen to this entire shit, right? Because I understand that, like, I know a lot of people, I saw this coming up and down my timeline over the course of the last week, man. A lot of folks were passing this around. A lot of people were upset about it. A lot of people got into their feelings. Some of y'all really jumped out here and made asses of y'all selves, some fellow podcasters, but I ain't going to say no names. But so this girl goes out. She says these things. And one of the things about, like, kids, right? Because I said, you know, Span love the kids or whatever else. When it comes to, like, these sorts of issues, man, I very seldom want to promote kids doing stupid shit. In much the same way that, like, say, for instance, what's that little dude name? CJ Pearson? The little CJ Pearson dude? Like, I can remember when that little kid, like, he was, you know, he was out here. He was doing the pro-Republican videos and everything. And then for a hot second, he was like, you know what? I'm sorry, man. Like, I didn't understand what I was saying. And then he went right back to that Republican shit when he found out that he wasn't getting as many views as he was getting before when he was spouting that dumb shit. And he went right back to that same old shit because that's where the cash cow was, right? I don't as much as I despise what that kid is doing, I also recognize that is a child still. So I'm not going to go at him or this child here with the same level of force that I would go after someone like a Candace Owens or a Jason Whitlock or anyone like that. I still think that what they're saying is fucking stupid. But at the same time, I give them the benefit of the fact that they're still children. One of the things that I thought was interesting over the course of the week was, like, you know, not only just kind of watching people take this story in, but also how people were projecting what this young lady was saying themselves. There was a few people. There was a couple motherfuckers that got on microphones and started using this as a way to come at black people in general. Right? And it weren't just like the Candace Owenses of the world. Some of y'all listen to their podcasts, right? Just using this as an opportunity to shit on black people. Shit on dark-skinned black people. Getting into the whole colorism thing. Right? And y'all went, like, y'all couldn't wait. Y'all couldn't wait to get on microphones and get on YouTube and get on, like, Twitter and like, just go in on this kid. Only for it to be found out that this entire story was a bunch of bullshit.
What?
I said this entire story was a bunch of bullshit.
What?
Nigga, you heard me. All right? Now, one of the things about this story being in some bullshit was the fact that, for one, like I said, when that little girl said that she had the body of Kim Kardashian and Kim Kardashian was a great role model. Off top, I knew that was some bullshit. Another thing too, and maybe this is just some inside shit that I know, and I'm sure some of y'all may also know this shit too. But when it comes to a lot of these talk shows, where people get on there and they say some really outlandish, crazy shit, I'm not sure if like y'all didn't know this, but a lot of that is just production, yo. A lot of that shit ain't real. I'll never forget. Years ago, I want to say damn near 15 years ago, a cousin of mine took his ass on the Maury Povich show. Now, y'all know Maury has kind of gone from being a regular ass talk show. For those of us who are old enough to remember, Maury used to be like a talk show like Ricky Lake, like Jenny Jones, like Jerry Springer before the fights. It was a talk show and they talked about different topics and issues and stuff like that. But, you know, this was around the time when he was really getting his You Are Not the Father shit kicked off. And my cousin took his ass on the Maury Povich show. And he wanted to have a paternity test on a baby with a girl he had been with, right? Now, here's the twist. My cousin already fucking knew that the baby was his. But he wanted that free trip to New York. He had never been to New York. But he wanted to go to New York. It was an opportunity to go to New York and not pay a dime for that trip. So he gets to New York, knowing that this baby is his. But he gets there and he gets with production. And he says that like production's got him in New York City, out in the city and whatnot. And you know how they do the montage right before the father comes out after, and like the mother, you know how they set it up on Maury. Maury comes out and he's got the mom sitting there and she's got the baby. They got the baby in the back, you know, she's backstage. And then they got the mom saying how it can't be nobody else but him, yada, yada, yada. And then the crowd is on her side. And then they show the video montage of the father, the proposed father. And he's going in like, it can't be my baby, Maury. It can't be mine because I wasn't even with that bitch at the time, man. I don't even fuck with her like that. The baby ain't even got my nose, Maury. My mama say I got a birthmark on my ass. The baby ain't got the birthmark on her ass. Why she ain't got the birthmark on her ass? Right? You know that whole shit. Cuz tells me they got him hanging out on the fence and shit, saying the same stupid shit about the baby mom. The baby of his, like, basically the mother of his child. Right? The mother of his child, he's got to go on here and talk cash shit about. So my cousin tells me, he's like, yo, I don't feel comfortable doing this. Well, he told them, I don't feel comfortable doing this. I think this is fucked up. And he told me that production told him, well, if you don't do this, you got to find your ass a way back home to Chicago. Right? Now, this was 15 years ago. This is how shit was rolling then. It wouldn't surprise me if shit was going that way now. Right? When I saw this, I'm like, nah, I don't believe it. Something about this is off. That shit sounds fishy. And I'll be goddamned if it wasn't. So this little girl's sister came out and says that, yo, this was just all an attempt to get famous, like the Catch Me Outside girl. So we're going to read this story here. This comes out of Essence.com. It says, last week, a polarizing video of a 16-year-old black teenager appeared on Dr. Phil to discuss why she hated anything involving being with being black. Treasure Richards' comments reeked of self-hate as she called black people monkeys and ghetto. Most African Americans speak ghetto. When it comes to black people, I think they're all ugly and I'll have nothing in common with them. I act and think like a white person instead of a black person, Treasure said. When I think of an African American, I feel like asking them what is wrong with them. They're really dangerous. Excuse me. Now, it says that most people are in disbelief that a black girl could harbor so much self-hate towards other black people. But no one was in more disbelief than 25-year-old Nina Richards, Treasure's older sister. In an exclusive with Essence, Nina is now speaking out against the lies her family reported on Dr. Phil's show and how Treasure and her mother only appeared on the show for a free trip and to become a meme. I knew that they were going to L.A., but I didn't know what it was about, Nina said, when asked if she knew about their Dr. Phil appearance. They told us that they weren't allowed to say what the show was about. I thought it was something that she actually did in her real life. And by real life, Nina means that Treasure is currently on the run from Michigan's Child Protective Services after dropping out of school and being a ward of the state. Treasure stopped going to school for a long time. She's into a lot of craziness. She puts herself out there. She has all of these hustles. She's banned from CVS. She's done a lot, Nina stated. When it comes to Treasure's appearance on Dr. Phil, it definitely wasn't something the 16-year-old orchestrated on her own. Nina says her mother wanted the free trip, and her brother was basically along for the ride. But what pisses Nina off even more is that her deceased father's name and reputation was ruined. William Richards, who was a white man, died in 2006 and had his photo shown on national television. Monique apparently lied about the fact that Treasure never knew he wasn't her biological father. According to Nina, her siblings always knew he wasn't their biological father, but he was the one who raised them. Right. Right. So, I guess the thing that pisses me off the most about this particular story, outside of the fact that this young girl is on national television and she's spouting anti-black views and, you know, people are kind of eating it up and using this young lady as a way to also extol their own anti-black views, but that, like, how easily y'all fell for it. How easily y'all fell for that shit. And then it made me, like, kind of think back to, like, you know, like, I remember last year, man, when I did that episode where I was talking about We Need to Talk and everything, and I said I felt like Sharif and everything and all that, where I was just basically talking about, like, you know, the amount of friends that I no longer really kind of, like, vibe with, and, you know, the, you know, family members not being able to look at me the same way because I see the world so much differently now. And, you know, one of the things that I've been really, like, kind of thinking about lately, especially with the way that the world is kind of, like, manifesting itself to be, one of the things I'll be thinking about, man, sometimes, like, even when I'm on this mic and in these Facebook groups and in these Twitter conversations and everything else, I'd be wondering, man, like, you know, we be having some high-minded-ass conversations, but this shit is not happening on a grand scheme, on a grand scale. These conversations aren't happening where they really need to be happening, with our family, with our friends on an everyday, not on social media with some people we got some connections with, but we don't really know them like that. Like these conversations aren't happening with the people that we fuck with heavy. Because it's way too easy, like, for this story to gain the traction that it did and for this story to be used in a way to express anti-blackness from folks who were calling themselves telling the truth about blackness. That shit is saddening to me, right? It shit saddens me. And there is a contingent of anti-intellectualism, man. Like, there's a lot of people who really don't give a fuck about any of the stuff. Like, any of the stuff that we be talking about. Like, you know, when you talk about, you know, like, political shit or trans rights or respectability politics or feminism or hotepism or all of this shit. They don't give a fuck about none of this shit. These conversations aren't happening on the grand scale of, say, you know, shit. I get why it doesn't. Nobody wants to go home to, like, their grandma's house and be arguing with their cousins all fucking weekend. Nobody wants to do that shit. Hey, it's Thanksgiving, man. I want to eat turkey. I want to fucking eat dressing. I don't want to argue with my family. So I get why it doesn't happen. But it's not happening. And sometimes I be feeling a little bit defeated only because I know these conversations tend to only be happening right here in these spaces. It's only happening here and on other podcasts and in Facebook groups and in Twitter threads. And a lot of our folks ain't there. They're not there. So when something like this happens with a treasure going on Dr. Phil and they're passing this around, some people will watch that shit on Dr. Phil. I'm like, you know what? That little girl got some truth in her. Like, she's telling some, she got a little bit of truth in that. Somebody will buy into that shit. And of course, you know, racists will buy into that. But there's a contingent of black folks who will also buy into that shit too. Because they also harbor some of those anti-black views. They also harbor the attitude that there's a pathology in black people that is inherently worse than any other race of people. They truly believe that. Although they don't say it, they'll talk around it. They truly do believe that. So, yeah, man. Treasure. That whole story was fugazi as shit. And some of y'all fell for it. Hopefully none of my listeners fell for it. But some folks fell for it. And some of y'all motherfuckers got on microphones and extolled that shit and acted as if that shit was funny. And all right. So, yeah, that's in Blue Blazers. Another story that's in Blue Blazers, man. And this is, I thought, was really motherfucking interesting. Hillary Clinton is back in the motherfucking news, y'all.
God damn!
I know. Hillary Clinton is in the news again, and she ain't president. She ain't secretary of state. She ain't first lady. She ain't got a position. Hillary Clinton is out there in New York being a motherfucking grandma. Grandma who got, like, you know, some clout, but, you know, still granny, right? So she's in the news, though, right? So I actually heard about this, and check this out. So let me mea culpa. I've listened to The Breakfast Club this past few weeks. While I'm at work, I'm in my truck with my partner, and you know, he tends to listen to the radio. A lot of times I might have an earbud in my ear and I'm like, I got YouTube going, or I might have a podcast going. But every now and again, the earbud may fall out and The Breakfast Club is on and I may listen a little bit, right? And I was listening in on a conversation that they were having about Hillary Clinton making a joke about black people all looking alike. Sounds terrible. And the way that they framed the shit sounded even more terrible. Charlemagne the God gave Hillary Clinton, ass out of the week. Gave her donkey of the day. Right? Gave that woman donkey of the day for her saying all black people look alike. Right? Said that she was way too comfortable saying that sort of thing. That black people were giving her a pass for saying that sort of thing. That if this was coming out of the mouth of a Donald Trump, then black people would be all up in arms about this, but they weren't saying anything because this was Hillary Clinton, and Hillary Clinton gets a pass, and y'all give her the pass because she had hot sauce in her bag swag, the whole shit, right? So then something told me, you know what? Let me actually listen to what the fuck Hillary Clinton actually said before I jump off the gun and be like, oh, nah, I'm not, like, be mad about this shit, like, and maybe not supposed, like, maybe not needing to be mad. So we're gonna listen to exactly what the fuck Hillary Clinton said and how she said it, because context matters. Oh shit, that was loud.
Or whatever. You know, that's childish.
What do you think of Cory Booker's, and you didn't come on him, and you feel free?
Oh, I adore him.
What do you think about him saying kick them in the shins, essentially, start to get to that kind of political?
Well, that was Eric Holder.
Eric Holder,
yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know they all look alike.
No, they don't. Oh, well done. You know, Hillary.
Okay. So, Hillary Clinton was correcting the interviewer, apparently, and she said, yeah, I know they all kind of look alike, jokingly, as she was correcting the interviewee or the interviewer. Context matters, people. And the reason why folks weren't as upset with Hillary Clinton, or a lot of people weren't as upset with Hillary Clinton saying this, and they would have been upset if Donald Trump had said it, is because of the history between the two. Right? Think, like, there's this level of false equivalency that goes on so much in our politics and our news and all of these things. Like, we've allowed so many different things to be equivalized that aren't even on the same scale. Right? That aren't even in the same fucking ballpark. Like, to say that if Donald Trump said this, then we'd all be upset. Considering all the shit that Donald Trump has said lately, yeah, motherfucker. We'd probably be right to be upset about some of the shit that Donald, especially if considering, okay, we're going to get rid of naturalized citizenship for people born here in the United States. Like, you're automatically a citizen. Now, why would that even be an issue for Donald Trump when before he was talking about we need more Norwegians to come here? We need more people from the Nordic countries. Like, he was naming Sweden. You know what I'm saying? Where the Swedes and the Norwegians? Why are we getting all these people coming here from shithole countries? You remember that? What about the Central Park Five? And him claiming that the Central Park Five needed to get the death penalty even though they asses were exonerated through DNA evidence. And you want to put Hillary Clinton in that? Now, I know some of you guys go back into the whole thing. Well, Hillary Clinton said that we were super predators. And the whole Hillary Clinton, you know, Hillary Clinton is responsible for the crime bill, forgetting the fact that Hillary Clinton was only the first lady of the United States of America, had no legislative powers whatsoever, and that Bernie Sanders, a lot of you guys like Bernie Sanders, actually voted for that exact same bill. Now, I know Bernie Sanders likes to say that, well, you know, there was some caveats in that bill. That it had some things in that bill that he really did like, but overall, he didn't like the bill. Hey, man, if overall you don't like the fucking bill, guess what, man? I'm not voting for this shit. My conscience won't sit well. So there's a contingent of folks who, for whatever reason, man, they just don't like Hillary Clinton. And truth be told, if you told them that it was because they've been told negative things about that woman for the last 20 plus fucking years, they wouldn't even believe it. They'd be like, well, you just a shill for Hillary Clinton. Right? I've gotten that. I'm a shill for Hillary Clinton. Like, here's the thing, though. Hillary Clinton is not president. Hillary Clinton is not a senator. Hillary Clinton is not Secretary of State now. Hillary Clinton is not a senator right now. Hillary Clinton is not in the House of Representatives. Hillary Clinton is a former candidate for President of the United States. She is a former First Lady. She is a former Secretary of State who has no security clearances. Hillary Clinton is a regular ass citizen, the same way that your ass is. And here we are in 2018 and the midterm elections, and we're talking about whether Hillary Clinton should have used that joke or not. Amongst all of the shit that's going on right now, we're talking about Hillary Clinton making a joke to point out the fact that this white woman, this other white woman, got two black dudes confused. That's what we're doing. Come on, man. Come on, man. So I'm going to have that as a poll tonight for you guys, whether or not you think Hillary Clinton was wrong for using the lookalike joke in this particular interview and correcting this interviewer. That's going to be a poll on this episode for the Spam Report podcast. So you go on the website and it'll be there. Vote in that poll. Let me know what you guys are thinking on that. But that has been Blue Blazers, y'all.
What in blue blazes is going on out here?
Did this nigga just say blue blazes?
All right. So we got a couple stories, man. I'm actually going to, you know what? I'm actually going to cut one of these stories. I'm getting tired. It's getting late and I got to go to work tomorrow. So we're going to do this. Kanye West, right? Kanye West is, he's getting out of politics, y'all. Kanye West decided he was going to get out of politics. He said that he felt like he was being used, and he was being used by none other than Candace Owens, y'all. But really, it's,
well, I'll be a monkey's bare-assed uncle.
Because we told his ass, right? So apparently, Candace Owens has come up with some little, campaign. She calls it Blexit, supposed black exit of voters from the Democratic Party and into the Republican Party. And first of all, she told everybody that that Kanye West made the design for the shirts and the hats and everything else. Kanye West felt like he was being used. Like, you know what? I didn't do that. I didn't create that logo. I introduced her to the person who created it. They didn't want their name attached to that shit because it's Candace Owens, of course. And instead of using their name, she told them I made the shit. And now it wasn't me. I feel used. My eyes are wide open. Open it up to the point where he still considers Donald Trump viable president of the United States. But yeah, man, Donald Trump is his boy. And Candace Owens, he feels like, used him to up her profile. Duh, motherfucker. Because a whole lot of folks didn't even know who Candace Owens was prior to this year. Now she has national profile and is on Fox News damn near every other fucking day. And, you know, she's in having meetings at the White House and bringing all these coon ass niggas up to the White House, arguing with Roland Martin and other black media and shit in the White House. It's hilarious. Hilarious. What's going on over there? Right? But not only did Kanye West distance himself from Candace Owens, apparently, Candace Owens tried to Columbus the motherfucking name Blexit.
Well, I'll be a monkey's bare-assed uncle.
More like,
God damn!
Yeah, man. More like that. So check this out. There was actually a group who were already calling themselves Blexit before Candace Owens even became a thing. So this is a story. This comes out of BlexitMinnesota.org. And they say Blexit is a nonprofit organization based out of Minneapolis, Minnesota, operating nationally since July 2016. Organizing economic resistance, and mind you, this is around the time that Candace Owens was anti-Trump, okay? It says organizing economic resistance towards financial renaissance in response to systems of oppression. A political organization not affiliated with Blexit has recently started using the name Blexit without our permission. Unfortunately, this is causing confusion. We are working to promptly resolve. To clear up the confusion, number one, Blexit is not affiliated with MAGA or political organizations intended to sway black voters to right-wing ideology. Blexit is in its nature not a political agenda, but a theory of change to collectively build institutional economic agency that benefits black Americans. Learn more about our credit union project here. It says number two, some may have inadvertently signed up as Blexit members or donated money to Blexit recently. If this is you, please use the opt-out link at the end of this message or request a refund within 30 days by emailing info@BlexitMinnesota.org. Refunds may take 7 days to process. We are truly thankful for our members and how you supported black liberation through economic renaissance. Right now, we kindly ask for your patience as we dispel the confusion caused by infringement on our name and work. There is more to come soon, including information on what you can do to dispel misinformation in cooperation Blexit established 2016. Yo. She couldn't even be original with that, yo. All of this free thought and free expression and free ideas is somebody else's shit. And has always been somebody else's shit. And that has always been one of the problems that I've had with a lot of these Black Republicans as of late, is that the only reason they even identify with the Republican Party at this moment is because they want to shit on Black people. By and large, they want to shit on Black people. It is the snowflakiest of movements. I am the special Negro. I don't think like those other Negroes. Therefore, you cannot put me with those Negroes. I am a MAGA Negro. I am a Candace Owens Negro. Candace Owens can't even create her own shit. She is a fucking charlatan, a fraud. And she was just exposed by these folks in Minnesota, man. Like, hey, man, put some respect on our name. That's our shit. And you're trying to make money off of it, and you're trying to capitalize on it, and this is ours, and it has been for the last 2 years. They almost got champ of the week, but they didn't. But that has been Proud to Be an American, y'all. That I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that fight to me, and I gladly all right. It's almost time for us to get up out of here, y'all. But of course, y'all know what we do before we do that. And it is time for...
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
It's our ass hat of the week. And our ass hat of the week this week here at the Spirit Report Podcast is none other than... Bryant Goldbach. He's our ass hat of the week this week here at the Spirit Report Podcast. And I know a lot of y'all are like, nigga, who the fuck is Bryant Goldbach? I don't know this motherfucker, man. But y'all gonna learn who he is, man. So, of course, we've been talking about this Halloween shit and how your man Span likes the Halloween holiday and all of that. But, yo, this dude here out of Kentucky decided he was gonna take his Halloween costume a little bit too far. And he's surprised as to how people were responding to his costume. So we're going to look at this story here. This comes out of News Channel 8. And there's video attached to this. So let me go ahead and screen share this so y'all can watch this here with me here in the chat room. Here we go. Let's see what this fool had to say. Oh, rewind. Rewind. There we go.
Among the many costumes and masks at last night's Trail of Treats in Owensboro, one costume had some people offended.
It does disturb because we don't need that. It's a lot of people who've been in concentration camps.
Bryant Goldbach dressed as a generic Nazi soldier while his son was dressed as Adolf Hitler. Goldbach says he wanted to do it for historical reasons.
Okay. This comes in on a week where Megyn Kelly was fired at NBC for defending blackface on Halloween, when, you know, white people want to be black characters for Halloween. You know, they could pull the look off without actually resorting to the whole blackface thing. And I'm amazed that this dude in this climate couldn't understand that pulling out some Nazi paraphernalia might not have been the greatest idea, especially considering the political climate as well. Unless, of course, if this motherfucker was living under a rock and he wasn't aware, then that's something entirely different. I'm not buying this idea, though. I'm not buying this story of I had no idea what the fuck was going on. I am not buying that.
Are only in this for living history.
He said he came up with the idea at the last minute, but started regretting his decision once others at Trail of Treats confronted him.
It happened about the time we had the first person approach us. I mean, is that time that clued me in that, okay, maybe we shouldn't have did this.
No shit.
Just promoted something that was terrible that happened in the past that definitely maybe shouldn't have been brought up.
He could have made his face up. He could have went as I know clowns, a lot of people are afraid of clowns. And he could have been anything.
Not everybody has the devotion to living history that I have. It's, I don't know how else to put it, except that I'm sorry that I feel like I've hurt a lot of people. And, you know, I'd give anything to make it right.
One downtown business.
Come on, man. Come on, man. Living history, my devotion to living history. You knew that those were some terrible motherfuckers. They did terrible things. And it's not as if you haven't seen movies, you haven't heard stories, you haven't watched the news as to what that means right now. So kiss my ass with this idea that you had no clue that people would respond to you the way that they did. Fuck you. And Brian Goldblock, whatever the fuck his name is. It's the ass head of the week this week here at the Spin Report Podcast.
Yo, we got some hats now, motherfuckers.
But we do have a champ.
The champ is here. 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 The champ is here.
All right, our champ this week here at the Spin Report Podcast is none other than Florida gubernatorial Democratic candidate Andrew Gillum. Yeah. Andrew Gillum been out here killing them. They should put that on a t-shirt, man. Credit your boys, man. Real talk. But no, they should make sure that Andrew Gillum is the next Florida governor, man. Because Andrew Gillum, he's real quick with it, man. He is making his Republican candidate opponent, Ron DeSantis, look like a goddamn fool, man. And the latest example of that has been in their last debate, where they were talking about the idea of Ron DeSantis being associated with racists and Ron DeSantis' insistence that he wouldn't be smeared that way. So check this out, y'all, as we check out this clip from the last the debate for Florida governor this year.
DeSantis, I'm going to direct this next question to you. On live TV in August, on the first day of the general election campaign, you said of Andrew Gillum's run for governor, quote, "The last thing we need to do is to monkey this up by embracing a socialist agenda." Fox News quickly disavowed your words, saying, quote, "They do not condone the language." Now, you called some of this response absurd. You've made appearances at four of David Horowitz's Freedom Center events, again, four separate times, four speeches, among some of Mr. Horowitz's statements, quoting here, "This country's only serious race war is against whites." You know, I'll ask the questions. Okay. It's not a McCarthy game, and I'm giving it, wait for the question,
okay,
sir.
Okay.
He also said, "If blacks are oppressed in America, why isn't there a black exodus?" Now, in 2015, in your speech before the Freedom Center, you said of Mr. Horowitz, "David has done such a great work, and I've been an admirer. I've been to these conferences in the past, and I've been a big admirer of an organization that shoots straight, tells the American people the truth, and is standing up for the right thing." Those are his words. Here's my question.
He had not even made those statements then.
Yes, he had, sir. The first statement was made many years ago.
I mean, how the hell am I supposed to know every single statement somebody makes? Here's the...
That's when you know you caught in the damn... You got your dick in a sling, dog. He knew his dick was in a sling, man. He couldn't get out of that shit. How the hell am I supposed to know? That fucking indignation, man, when he got caught up being associated with racists. That's funny. That's motherfucking funny, man.
That's the deal. Let me just say this straight up. You know, I've lived my life, whether it's athletics, whether it's military, whether it's serving as a prosecutor. You know, when I was downrange in Iraq, we worked together as a team, regardless of race. We had the American flag on our arm. We wore the same uniform, and we fought for the country. When I was a prosecutor, I stood up for victims of every race, color, and creed. That's the only...
Hey, so check this out. There was applause. Andrew Gillum looked up to see who the fuck was clapping. He was writing some shit down. Andrew Gillum looked up like, oh, who the fuck is that? Who the fuck is that? Okay.
The only way to do it in our country, it's something I believe in, and as governor, I will represent all the people. Everyone will get a fair shake, but I am not going to bow down to the altar of political correctness. I'm going to not let the media smear me like they like.
Why do they think being respectful to motherfuckers is being is political correctness? Like, why do they get upset about that? Like, yo, if we're really talking about political correctness, like, y'all got upset when Don Lemon called white men terrorists, even though they are being... We talked about this. But they're so fucking aggrieved. It's so aggrieved with the idea, with the mere fucking idea of being labeled a racist. Being labeled a racist is worse than being an actual fucking racist, apparently, to these people.
To do with so many other people. Sir, I'm certainly not going to take anything from Andrew Gillum, who's endorsed the Dream Defenders, which says Israel is an apartheid state and which says the police and prisons have no place in justice.
Mr. Gillum, wait for the applause and go. And Mr. DeSantis, I'll point out, I wish you would have waited for the question, because I had a question and it's not what you think it is. Mr. Gillum, I'll give you a chance to respond now.
Well, let me first say, my grandmother used to say a hit dog will holler. And it hollered through this room. Mr. DeSantis has spoken. Hey, first of all, he's got neo-Nazis helping him out in the state. He has spoken at racist conferences. He's accepted a contribution and would not return it from someone who referred to the former president of the United States as a Muslim, N-I-G-G-E-R. When asked to return that money, he said no. He's using that money to now fund negative ads. Now, I'm not calling Mr. DeSantis a racist. I'm simply saying the racists believe he's a racist.
Mike motherfucking drop. Mike drop, man. Mike drop. And that's the thing, man. This is why he's champ of the week this week. But not only that, this is an idea that we've talked about here at the Spare Report Podcast for at least the last 3 to 4 years, where this idea of, like, yo, they're so indignant at you being at being called a racist, but they surround themselves in fucking racism and act as if we fucking crazy for noticing. That we're crazy for noticing all the racist bullshit going on, man. So I applaud Andrew Gillum. I hope Andrew Gillum is the next governor in the state of Florida. I hope this this Stacey Abrams is the next governor in the state of Georgia. I hope that Beto O'Rourke is the next senator in the state of Texas. I hope that Gretchen Whitmer is the next governor in the state of Michigan. I hope that Ben Jealous is the governor in the state of Maryland. Like, there are so many seats up for grabs. I really, really do implore each and everybody listening to my voice right now, please go vote. Please. I know we try to have fun sometimes. I know sometimes the show can be heavy-handed. But if I never tell you anything important ever again in life, man, I want y'all to go vote this week. This Tuesday, November 6th. If you haven't already, because some states have early voting. But I implore you guys to go vote. I really do. And I hope you guys got something from the show. And I gotta go. But before, of course, I do, I got to remind you guys how to get in touch with us here at the Spare Report Podcast. Let your voices be heard. Go ahead and hit us up at that hotline at area code 313-288-0485. That's area code 313-288-0485. Leave those voicemail messages. Of course, we'll play them on the show, respond in kind. You can also email us here at feedback@thespareport.com. That's feedback@thespareport.com. Leave those emails. Of course, I'll read those emails here and reply to those here live on the show. You can also hit us up on Twitter and Instagram. My name on both of those platforms is Mr_Span. So go there and follow your man Span throughout the week. Chop it up with me. Hit us up on the website. Go there, vote in the polls. Go check out old episodes, man. You can watch old episodes, man. You can vote in the polls. You can leave comments. You can donate to the show as often as you like, as much as you like. Of course, we appreciate every dime of it. You can go to the website to get to the store, right? You can go to the website to get to the store. You can get to the store in the show notes, right? So those links are available in, on the podcast, man. You go through the show notes, man, boom, the store is right there. You can go there, copy yourself some merch, get yourself a hoodie, get yourself a t-shirt, get yourself a mouse pad, get yourself a coffee mug, get yourself some stuff, man. Real talk. I really do appreciate everybody who does support the Spirit Report Podcast Network in that way. We really do appreciate everything that you guys do for us. And it is time for me to get on up out of here, man. It's getting late and work calls tomorrow. So, yeah, we got that going on. But I got to get on up out of here. But until then, I will talk to you guys soon. Until next time, fam. Peace out.